Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 19 June 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 John. 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. A couple of updates. First of all, from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center update. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, June 18th, went very well. We had another great turnout with seven ladies. They only have women that stay there at Las Ventanas? The men are all in reversionism. You know? We had another good turnout with seven ladies. All were eager to learn about heaven. Dina Blair helped the ladies find each verse in their large print Bibles. We listened to the second half of lesson number 13 in the Heaven Special, which means we're halfway through the 26 lessons. And we're on a pace to complete the series by the middle of December. In this lesson, Pastor Olson used passages in 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter to explain that the loser believer cannot lose his salvation, nor his resurrection body, but he can lose the greater grace blessings and rewards that God has for him. And sad to say, but in the time we live in America, we are in apostasy and degeneracy. There are a lot of Christians in our country. The problem isn't that there isn't enough Christians. It's that most of the Christians are losers. They're loser believers. And they are living out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system. And they will stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and they will be embarrassed, and they will be ashamed, and they will lose out. They will miss what 2 John verses 7 and 8 is all about. They will miss out on the play race misthos. They will not only will they not receive their full reward, they won't receive any reward. But they won't lose their salvation. They'll be in heaven. There's a great inequality in heaven. There will be losers, and most Christians in America today are losers. and there will be winners and in between. The winners is what John is warning believers. This is what should be taught all over America today, because it's a great, intense warning. Beware, watch out, that you don't lose out on the play race misthoth, the full reward that God wants to give to you, to the winner believer only at the judgment seat of Christ. To God be the glory as He continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. And today was day 4 of Vacation Bible School. Another great day at Vacation Bible School. They started out by eating mini pancakes for breakfast. Then Debbie explained how, as a believer in Jesus Christ, they have the privilege of praying to the Father. They picked out a prayer promise book with stickers to decorate it and to take home. Daria went through the gospel by drawing the cross on the board and explaining it the way Pastor Olson does. Oh, damn good. She also emphasized eternal security. It was fantastic. And again, God the Holy Spirit had the children's total attention. They loved song time, followed by their classes about the Apostle Paul. Corina taught the older group, and it went well. I sat in on Sherry's class and loved it. She had Hunter and Sophie and Natalie take turns reading a book about the Apostle Paul. And she added more details. The children made crafts, played water relay, and had lots of snacks. Tomorrow they will learn about the greatest Bible hero, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for all of your prayers, Jamie and the VBS team. And for those, there are people we have working as a part of that team that have never, this is their first year, all they can say, it is the greatest thing they have ever seen. Again and again and again. Pastor Olson, this is great. I said, it's just great to have you here as a part of this. Oh, this is just, I can't explain how great this is. And I said, well, you're witnessing the grace and power of God in action. The grace and power of God at work. That's what you're witnessing. That's why it's so great. And we've been doing this for, well, as long as I've been here, that's about 450 years. You know, at least that's what my knees tell me anyway. 2 John, verses 7 and 8, corrected translation says, because many deceivers, many false teachers have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and do not teach Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, that is, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Verse 8, watch out for yourselves. Watch out for yourselves in order that you do not lose out on those things you have accomplished, but that you may receive pleiros misthos, P-L, long E-R, long E-S, M-I-S-T-H-O-S. Playwright. Full. The full. Mythos reward. Now the principle for you in the short time while we're here on planet, we're here just a short time. When you're little and in school and have to take a test, it seems like it's forever. But we're here a very short time. And in that short time, God has a plan for us. Salvation didn't stop the plan of God. Okay, you believed in Christ. It didn't stop there. Okay, fire insurance paid up. Good to go. No. In a track meet, that's just the gun going off and coming out of the blocks. You just started. You just started. You have a whole race in front of you. And from salvation to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first, God has a plan for your life, and that plan is better than any plan you have, any plan that man has. God has a perfect plan for you. God wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. God wants you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. He's given you that supernatural power. The universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. The power, the divine power to live this supernatural way of life. And he wants you to live that. Because you see, the angelic conflict shifted gears following the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. From Genesis 3:15 all the way up till then, the attack was on the line of Christ. Satan attacked the line of Christ. Then he attacked Jesus Christ himself. But now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now his attack, for the first time in all of human history, has shifted gears. Now the attack is on every one of you. He's attacking every one of you, every believer. For the first time ever in human history, Satan's attack is on every... We're the body of Christ. Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. We're the body of Christ. Now Satan's attack is on the body of Christ. And therefore, in the short time while you're here, the will of God is revealed in every command, every imperative mood in the New Testament scriptures. That's the will of God for you. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of many. That's the will of God for you. Period. Over and out. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit. And you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. That's the will of God for you. You're not doing that, you're out of the will of God. Period. You're not living the will of God. You're doing your own thing. Your plan is more important than God's plan. You think you know more than God knows. Well, you don't know more than God knows. You're just an arrogant jackass. The plan is what does God say in His Word? What is His mandate? What is His will for your life? What's His plan for you? Not your arrogant, self-righteous plan that you think's better than God's plan. Your plan is nothing compared to God's plan. Now, I don't want to sit on the fence. I want you to understand exactly where it's coming from. This is the Word of God. Too many mealy-mouthed pastors out there. The greatest pastor that I met and sat under was Colonel R.B. Thee. He's in heaven now. He's in heaven now. But he's the greatest pastor that America has ever had. And I had the privilege of sitting under him and learning. And everything I learned, I took it. And he was right there with Ron Breckel. And it was Pastor Thieme who came up to me and told me, you go back to Washington and you see Pastor Breckel, Ron Breckel, you tell him from me, he's doing the best job of any pastor in this nation. You tell him that from me. Boy, I can't tell you how great that was. We made a special event. We went down to Lewiston. From Pullman down to Lewiston Grade. And had a special dinner. There's not many places you can go in Pullman. But we went down to Lewiston Grade and had a special dinner. While we're having that dinner, I said, Ron, Colonel Thieme has a message he wanted me to give to you. He wanted me to tell you that you're doing the greatest job of any pastor in this nation. And Ron just, well, he popped off all the buttons off his shirt and enjoyed the dinner. And those two men, they were on the exact same page, exact same page. The colonel told those of us at Dallas Seminary that were his boys, you get all the languages you can get. Pastor Breckel said the same thing. You get all the languages you can get when you go to Dallas Seminary. So I majored in Hebrew and minored in Greek. I majored in Hebrew because, geez, that even kind of looked, there's a few letters there that kind of looks like you can recognize it. There's nothing in Hebrew that you can look like you recognize. Looks like a chicken walked across the page. And it was listening to these two men. When I left to go to Dallas Seminary, Pastor Breckel said, now look, you're just getting the tools. That's all you're doing. You're getting the tools, so that you can exegete the Word of God. Exegete the God-breathed Scriptures. Not some English translation, but the God-breathed Scriptures. So while you're there, and if you're not getting Bible doctrine every single day while you're there, when you graduate in 4 years, you'll be in reversionism. Because all you're getting is the tools. I said, yes, sir. So he says, you need to listen to Colonel Thieme. Every day while you're there, you listen to him. And I did. I knew I was just getting the tools, but I got the tools. We're living in the dark ages in America. We got a lot of churches and a lot of pastors sitting in pulpits, and they're losers, most of them. And they're not doing the job they should be doing. We have cosmic pastors. I'd say probably 70 to 80% of the pastors are cosmic pastors. If they're Baptists, they're baby pastors. Oh, they give the gospel. But hell, you're supposed to be teaching the Word of God to believers. They should be saved. But if you're in a Baptist church, you're going to hear the gospel and hear the gospel, hear the gospel, hear the gospel, hear the gospel, hear the gospel. And hopefully, after about 2,000 times, you're saved, you know. But that's about all you get. They're babies. And then there's adolescent pastors, and then there's a few mature pastors. And they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Well, I listened the very first time. It was Ellen Kelso. Invited me out to her place, took me down to the basement, said, "We're going to listen to a Bible class from Pastor Thiem." And she put it on, and I listened to that. First time I ever heard him. I said, "Now that's the way the Bible should be taught. That's the way it should be taught." And then I came back and listened again. And then she says, "You know, you can order them yourself." "I can't." Of course, this was reel to reel. Big reel to reel class. So I ordered them and started listening myself. But I knew that's how the Word of God should be taught. Not like some mealy-mouthed pastor who gives you a fish handshake at the door as you leave. You know, they usually say, "Oh, it's so great to see you here." If I stood at the door, I'd kick you in the butt and say, "Where in the hell have you been?" So you can be glad that I'm not standing at the door and saying goodbye to you as you had your head out, see? No statement in the Scripture makes clear the relationship between maintaining the grace and truth of the God-breathed Scriptures in your heart and receiving eternal reward at the judgment seat of Christ than 2 John verse 8. In verse 8, that phrase when he says, watch out for yourself. That's an intense warning of a very great danger. That very great danger is false teaching and false doctrine from false teachers and antichrists, which result in losing out. You lose out on the full reward that God wants to give you. God wants to give all of us a full reward at the judgment seat of Christ. He would love, and His plan is so that you will all be winner believers. And that word, winner believers, that's the best translation. We're going to see it in Revelation. We hear over and over and over again, when we see the order of the morning star, the person who receives the order of the morning star, in the translation you have in your Bible, it's overcomer. Oh, that is as... I can tell you what I think that is, overcomer. It doesn't say overcomer. We'll get to that. I'll show you. It's not overcomer. God has the order of the morning star and seven privileges with the order of the morning star, and those seven privileges are not given to overcomers. It's given to those believers who are Hanukkah. Winner believers. That's who it's given to, not overcomers. The believer, therefore, must watch out for the disastrous spiritual effects which any compromise with the grace and truth of the Word of God could lead. Now we studied, after exegeting verses 7 and 8, the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. And in verse 8, we have that full reward. Now we're studying, what are these full rewards? These pleres misthos. What are the pleres misthos that are given to Hanukkah, winner believers at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, we started studying that. First of all, we saw it in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. And there the Apostle Paul stated that he was looking forward to receiving the crown of righteousness. And he says, not only will I receive it, but all those who love the appearing of Jesus Christ. All winner believers love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And all of them will receive the crown of righteousness. And I hope each one of you will receive the crown of righteousness. I expect you to receive the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. This crown is awarded at the judgment seat of Christ to the church age believer who fulfills the plan of God by the attainment of spiritual maturity. He has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father, because he knows God the Father. He knows the essence of God. He knows the attributes of God, the plan of God, the will of God. He has impersonal love for all mankind. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. This believer has fulfilled his royal priesthood. First you fulfill your royal priesthood. And then after you do that, then you will fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And he has the royal family honor code. He has fulfilled the royal family honor code. The believer who wears the invisible uniform of honor, virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, will receive this crown of righteousness. His personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ motivates his impersonal love for all mankind, which is the manifestation of the invisible uniform of honor. Colossians 3:12-14. The crown of righteousness is given for your grace righteousness, your virtue, your honor, your integrity, the fulfillment of the royal family honor code. So the crown of righteousness is a decoration for the attainment, perpetuation, and manifestation of spiritual maturity. The second reward, the crown of life. Now the crown of life is awarded to the church age believer who in spiritual maturity he's now qualified for evidence testing, undeserved suffering for blessing. And by passing undeserved suffering for blessing, evidence testing, the spiritually mature believer has glorified God to the maximum, and therefore he will receive the crown of life. Now this evidence testing is administered by Satan as an extension of the angelic conflict. We saw that in Revelation 2, verse 10, and in James 1, verse 12. James 1:12 tells us that happiness is not confined to prosperity when everything's going your way and going great. The perfect happiness, self-contained happiness of the winner believer exists under the greatest categories of adversity and suffering. He is qualified to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. And the crown of life is awarded to all members of the royal family of God who utilize God's problem-solving devices, who advance to maturity, and then use those problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure, to clear the hurdle of undeserved suffering for blessing. You glorify God in suffering as well as in prosperity. That's the crown of life. And there will be many from this congregation, face to face, and those who are not face to face all over America and around the world, who will receive that crown of life. And I know many of them have gone through intense, undeserved suffering for blessing. And they glorify God, cleared the hurdle of undeserved suffering for blessing. They're going to receive the crown of righteousness, all right, and they will also receive the crown of life. And that is fantastic. And I hope if you qualify for that in your life, I expect you to clear the hurdle of undeserved suffering for blessing in time of great and intense suffering. It was so intense to the Apostle Paul that he prayed 3 times that God would take it away. Satan had assigned a demon to beat the crap out of Paul. And it was so intense, the suffering was so intense for the Apostle Paul. He prayed 3 times, take it away, take it away, take it away. And God said, no. My grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul got it. Okay, I get to have this idiot who's beating the crap out of me. He's going to hang around till I leave. Okay. When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm suffering, that's when I'm strong. And then he got it. And he glorified God in his suffering as well as in his blessing. The Apostle Paul, well, he will receive the crown of righteousness. He will receive the crown of life. And there will be another crown he'll receive. The crown of glory. And the crown of glory is for the communicator of the Word of God. And that's where we ended last time, and that's where we'll start tonight. Crown of glory. 1 Peter 5. The Apostle Peter is writing this, and he says, therefore I encourage the presbyteroi. That's one of the words for the pastor. The presbyteros. Therefore I encourage the pastors, the presbyteroi among you, as a fellow presbyteros. So the Apostle Peter not only had the gift of apostleship, he had the gift of pastor-teacher as well. And so did the Apostle Paul. And Paul will receive the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. Peter will receive the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. And witness the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Verse 2, feed the flock of God among you. Where did he get that from? Well, The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes." "Then feed my sheep." The issue is the winner pastor, spiritually mature pastor, loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so he does what God put him here to do. He studies and teaches, studies and teaches, studies and teaches, studies and teaches, studies and teaches. Feed my sheep. Feed the flock of God among you, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Examples of what? Of living the spiritual life and attaining spiritual maturity. Of making Bible doctrine, the Word of God, number one priority. The winner pastor makes the Word of God the number one priority of life. And he should be an example for all the rest of you. On priorities, spiritual priorities are to be number one. If you haven't learned that from this pulpit, you probably never will. And when the chief shepherd appears at the rapture, the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So this is awarded to the communicator of the Word of God who faithfully studies and teaches the God-breathed Scriptures to their congregation. This results in both the pastor and believers in his congregation who have positive volition and humility attaining spiritual maturity. Now, not very few pastors today are going to receive the crown of glory. There are actually four different categories of pastors in the church age, but only one will receive the crown of glory, and that is the spiritually mature pastor. There are lots of cosmic pastors living in Satan's cosmic system, and the cosmic pastor is distracted by social action, crusader arrogance, totally disoriented to reality, oftentimes very arrogant, self-righteous, and totally ignorant of the Word of God. There are baby pastors. Baby pastors are the ones who they spend all their time in giving the gospel, evangelizing their congregation. Third, adolescent pastors, and he teaches some truth. However, he is distracted away from studying and teaching the Word of God. He can be a pseudo-intellectual, a crusader, a bleeding heart, self-righteous, a pleasing personality, or very arrogant. He appeals to those with negative volition toward Bible doctrine. He appeals to them. They'll all hunker around this guy because you're not interested in doctrine either. So you assemble around. He appeals to those with negative volition. He doesn't have the time to study the God-breathed Scriptures. And then the fourth, the only one that will receive the crown of glory, the spiritually mature pastor, through personal study and teaching, advances to spiritual maturity, and he leads his congregation to spiritual maturity. He emphasizes the Word of God. He's prepared, a prepared person academically. He knows where he stands theologically. He focuses on the message, not his personality. It's not the man, it is the message. Now, the fourth category of reward, the ultimate decoration that will be awarded to winner believers at the judgment seat of Christ is the Order of the Morning Star. The Order of the Morning Star is given to winner believers as the highest of all decorations given by God. This decoration is awarded for the maintaining of spiritual maturity. And most of the passages are found in Revelation, and it's in Revelation. People have asked me, where do you get this winner believer stuff? Well, there was a great friend of mine, great believer, and he was at Baraka, and the colonel was teaching a passage that had love. And the colonel said that the word there was agape. Well, this fellow had an interlinear, and he's looking at his, and agape wasn't there. Instead, the word that was there was phileo. Now, here's where he did the wrong thing. He went up, and he said, and the colonel said, "Hello, how can I help you?" And he says, "Well, now you were teaching this passage, and you said the word there for love was agape, but here it's phileo." "What? You telling me the pastor? What the? I'm the pastor here, not you. You're not the pastor. I'm the pastor. You don't come up and straighten me out." And Colonel just let him have it. Now, pastors make mistakes. I've been known to make one and two. But you don't go up to straighten out the pastor. That is the most arrogant thing that any individual can do. The pastor is the 4-star general. You don't go up and straighten him out. And you know, he laughs about it now. He said, "Whew." And he came up to me and asked a question. And he said, "Want to know if there was a book about this?" And I go, "You know, I just don't know if there is a book about that or not." And then he told me the story, and I laughed. I said, "Well, yeah, that's not a good idea." I said, "But don't you love the guy? Don't you love the guy? He's the spiritual authority." I said, "I love him. I loved him when he was living. He's in heaven now. I still love him. Pastor Breckel, he's in heaven now. I still love him. I love those guys. They were the best. They were absolutely the best." On this the privileges of the Order of the Morning Star, we're going to see passage after passage after passage, winner believer. Now there is a verb, N-I-K-A, nikao. Nikao means to conquer. It means to conquer. It means to be victorious. That's the verb. And from the verb, there is a noun, nike. N-I-K-E. In athletic apparel, you've heard of Nike. Nike, Nike, means victory. So, nikao, to conquer, to be victorious. Nike is the noun, victory. Now, what we have in all of these passages describing the winner believer is the articular participle. And for those of you who are consistent, you know the articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun. And the articular participle looks like this. Ha, that's the article, ha nikon. Ha nikon. And an articular participle is substantival, so it should be translated as a noun. You could translate it the victor or the winner. And so that's where, and it's used again and again and again, describing this order of the morning star and the seven privileges that accompany the order of the morning star. So, one, this decoration is mentioned as a part of greater grace blessings for the eternal state. This decoration is mentioned as a part of greater grace blessings for the eternal state. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And again, your translation may say, and he who overcomes. No, it's Hanukkah. The winner. The winner believer. Who does my will to the end. Executes the will of God to the end. The will of God is every mandate in the Word of God. Every imperative mood. Who does that to the end? To him, the winner believer, I will give authority over the nations, ruling with Christ in the millennial kingdom. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. I'll give him the morning star. Revelation 2, 26 and 28. Two, receiving this decoration is the highest manifestation of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in the church age. Receiving this decoration is the highest manifestation of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in the church age. Three. The order of the morning star is named after our Lord's royal title and is given to the winner believer for great historical impact in the church age as an invisible hero. The winner believer is an invisible hero. Oh, you won't be recognized on TV. I don't know if you want to be recognized on TV. You won't be recognized on TV or in the paper or anything, but you are an invisible hero, and you have great historical impact in the church age. Four, it authorizes the recipient to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. That's verse 26, gives him authority over the nations. It authorizes the recipient to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom and to hold the highest privileges for all eternity. Five, there are at least seven privileges that accompany the order of the morning star. And what we'll have in these again and again, Hanukkah, the winner believer, Hanukkah, the winner believer. So there are at least seven privileges that accompany the order of the morning star. Privilege number one, the uniform of glory. We get to wear a special uniform, a uniform of glory. And this is a translucent uniform of glory worn over the resurrection body. Now the winner believer will have this translucent uniform of glory. It will be bright like the sun, shining. It'll be easy to spot them when you get to heaven. The winner believer will have this uniform of glory, and you have to put your shades on to take a look at them. And then you'll see some there that have a resurrection body, and there's no light at all. But they're happy. They're in heaven. But they're there, the loser believers. But they don't have the uniform of glory. And then there will be different things. There will be some have a little bit of light. You know, you got these lights you have now. It starts down here and it goes up. Well, there will be everything in between. I hope you have the uniform of glory and just knock the eyes, spiritual eyes out of everybody else up there. And this was first modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 1 and 2. Jesus Christ modeled it as to what it's going to look like. Of course, he's the greatest winner believer of all time. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 1 and 2, and 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. He was wearing the uniform of glory. He is the greatest winner of all time. The uniform of glory is given as a translucent light which covers the resurrection body. Back at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 and 5a. 3, verse 4. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. You just don't want to soil your garments. You won't be a winner believer if you soiled your garments. See? We have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they, the ones who have not soiled their garments, they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And then we have not he who overcomes. We have Hanakon, the winner believer, will thus be clothed in white, a uniform of white, the uniform of glory. The uniform of glory is a monument of maximum right decisions in the winner believer's life. The second privilege. So the first privilege, uniform of glory. Privilege number two, you're put on the honors list. The honors list. Put on the honors list. Your name, the winner believer, will appear on the honors list. And you will be presented in the court of heaven while the tribulation is taking place on earth. The winner believer will be presented in the court of heaven. Only those on the honors list are taken to heaven and presented to God the Father. The honors list is made up of those believers who make Bible doctrine their highest priority daily. And that's in Revelation 3, 5b. Thus the winner, 3, 5b, thus the winner shall be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot out his title out of the book of life. In fact, I will acknowledge his title in the presence of my Father and before his angels. a formal presentation. While the tribulation is going on earth, Jesus Christ is presenting the winner believer, Hanukkah, to the Father as a formal presentation. Privilege number three, knighthood. Knighthood. A new order of knighthood and eternal order of chivalry will be added to the believer's name in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. To him who overcomes what you have, at least in my Bible here, NASV, but to the winner, to the Hanukkah, I will give him blessing from the hidden manna. That's greater grace blessing for all eternity. Also, I will give him a white pebble. The resurrection body is God's final vote of justification. In the ancient world, they voted with colored pebbles in the ancient world. And on that white pebble has been inscribed a new title, your royal patent in the eternal heraldry, which no one knows. You are an anonymous hero during the church age. You are an invisible hero. And then privilege number four, you will rule with Christ in the millennial kingdom. We already saw that in Revelation 2, 26 and 28. We saw Revelation 3, 21. Revelation 3, 21. The winner, Hanukkah, to the winner, I will give him the privilege to sit down with me on my throne, as I also won the strategic victory on the cross and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 3:21. And then we've studied this 2 Timothy many times. It's a great passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 11. Faithful is the word. If we died with him, retroactive positional truth, first class condition, and we have, we will also live with him, current positional truth. And then verse 12. If we endure, endure what? Endure suffering for blessing as a winner believer. We will also reign with him. As spiritually mature believers, we will reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. 2 Timothy 2:12. That's privilege number four. We will rule with Christ in the millennial kingdom. Privilege number five. The winner's name is recorded in the permanent historical record section in heaven. The winner's name is recorded in the permanent historical record section in heaven. The impact of the winner in his life here in the church age is anonymous. You are an invisible hero. The winner believer is an invisible hero. Invisible impact as far as the record of human history is concerned. But not as far as God is concerned. The winner believer's historical record will be recorded forever in the heavenly temple. Each pillar will have a record of his life as a winner believer. The temple of God is the eternal record center in the future. And this temple of God will be the historical textbook of the true heroes of history. The true heroes of history. The winner believer's name is recorded in the permanent historical record section because of his invisible historical impact during the church age. His invisible historical impact during the church age. The winner believer, as a part of the pivot of mature believers, is the true impact on history. And that's Revelation 3, verse 12a. Hanukkah, the winner, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. So to the Hanukkah, the winner believer, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Furthermore, he will never again vanish from history. Through all eternity, the true heroes will be recorded on that, in the pillar and the temple in heaven. Privilege number 6, you will receive your own coat of arms in glory. Revelation 3:12b. Again, Revelation 3:12 starts out, Hanukkah, the winner. Also, I will emblazon on him the title of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which shall descend from heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new title, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Bright Morning Star. So you receive your own coat of arms of glory. Privilege number 6. Privilege number 7. Here we go. The tree of life, which is related to the gazebo of the garden and the paradise club of God. Ooh. The tree of life, the gazebo of the garden, and the paradise club of God. The winner believer has special privileges related to the tree of life, to the gazebo of the garden, called the paradise of God. You are a member. The winner believer is a member of a very special club with special parties to which only the winner believer is invited. Now, I know Debbie's going to be a member of that club. And while I'm out there picking her cotton, I just have her send down a little treat for me while I'm out there working hard. See? You are a member of the Paradise Club forever. The Tree of Life is the ultimate and eternal reward and blessing. Revelation chapter 2, again. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hanukkah, to the one who is a winner believer, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To the winner believer, to the Hanukkah believer, this is a special privilege of the winner believer. Verse 7. And then Revelation 22, verse 14. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. That's Revelation 22, verse 12. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Happinesses are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Revelation 22, verse 14. All right. Now these are absolutely off the chart. If God explained to us exactly what all of these things are like, we would explode. We couldn't handle it. But he gives us these things to see and to look forward to. Now, live your life in the light of eternity. Live your life in the light of eternity. These special privileges are for winner believers only. Winner believers only. So we have the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, and the order of the morning star, with seven privileges in the order of the morning star. Live your life in the light of eternity. You see, you got all these things you think are so important here. Nah, you're here like, you're here today and gone tomorrow. You're like a fart. Your life is like a fart. Some of your farts are a little stinky and some are not. But you got all eternity. All eternity. And I hope for all eternity. I hope I have to wear sunglasses to look at all of you. I hope you're all there as winners. This is a great passage, 2 John verses 7 and 8. A great warning. Watch out. Don't miss out on pleres misthos. The full reward. The full reward. Don't miss out. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.